Go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And as you make your way there, I'm going to talk for just a little bit about vitamins and minerals. Yesterday at the men's breakfast, Barry said something about, oh, he hates all this health stuff. I was like, oh, no, he is in for a treat this morning. We're going to talk about health stuff and vitamins and minerals. For the most part, people don't really spend much time thinking or talking about vitamins and minerals until something starts going wrong. Some of you here, I know well enough to know that you've had situations with yourself or situations with loved ones where something was going wrong and somebody needed to go to get one of those doctor's visits or even go do an ER visit to figure out what was going wrong. And then after getting some tests and getting some blood work done, it was discovered that there was some sort of a deficiency in regard to specific vitamins or minerals that was the root of the problem. Now, depending on which vitamin or mineral is sufficient in your body, there are a multitude of side effects that can go along with it. Potassium is one of those vitamins you don't want to have a deficiency in. Potassium is vital when it comes to the nervous system, and it impacts the firing ability of the neurons and all of that in especially your muscles. And since we have muscles all over our bodies, that affects everything. Since all of our muscles depend on the firing of those neurons, the lack of potassium creates problems. The most important muscle in your body is, of course, your heart. And so if your heart starts beating irregularly because the neurons can't fire in the right way, if it starts functioning in weird ways, you've got some really serious problems to deal with. Together, vitamin D and the mineral calcium are an important combination for all of our bone health. Vitamin D is a vitamin that's necessary for our body's ability to absorb calcium, the mineral. And then without vitamin D, you can't get the mineral you need out of milk or cheese, which, you know, that's for those Wisconsin people. I think I saw a lot of stuff about cheese yesterday, but we need those things. I saw a lot of cheese graters. I saw those. I saw a bunch of things like that. Well, you need there's calcium. We all know there's calcium in cheese and in milk, but I don't know if everybody knew that you need vitamin D in order to even absorb it. But you need that calcium for your skeletal structure and each of the 206 bones in it. Without the necessary calcium, our bones can become brittle and break far easier than if we have a sufficient amount of calcium fortifying our bones. That's why the milk is vitamin D fortified. It has a vitamin D in there because if you don't have the vitamin D, you're not going to get the calcium benefit. So they package that together. I think most people know what they're doing when they do that. The older we get, the more vulnerable we are to things like osteoporosis and other bone issues which disrupt our mobility. Iron is another mineral where you don't want to be deficient. Iron is an important mineral in your blood because it's crucial for the growth, development, and production of hemoglobin and myoglobin. Those are the proteins that you need when your blood is circulating and transporting oxygen all around your body. And so if you're iron deficient, your blood isn't able to transport the oxygen that you need, and you gradually start to slow down and lose energy. Eventually, you can have symptoms all over your body, from headaches to cold hands and feet, and because your entire body needs good, and that's because your body, all of it, requires good oxygen-rich blood. The nervous system, the skeletal system, and the circulatory system are only three of the 11 systems in our body, and each of them are enhanced by us having the right amount of vitamins and minerals in our system. Vitamin A for our skin, B complex vitamins and minerals like magnesium and zinc for the balancing of our hormone levels, vitamin C for making sure our urinary system is acidic and it kills off the bacteria which prevents urinary tract infections, and on and on and on. There are so many things that we need and so many things that can go wrong if we don't get them. For that reason, multivitamins and mineral supplements are ways that people try to ensure that they're going to get what they need because their diet may not necessarily provide all of those things for them. And with that, let's go ahead and read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go ahead and stand with me as I read. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 10 through 17. 2 Timothy, beginning in chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Go ahead and be seated. Now, last week I talked about the importance of having a quality spiritual trellis in our lives. And as I mentioned, those who garden know that there are a variety of plants that benefit greatly from having a trellis structure as a support for the plant growth. Trellises help plants stay off of the ground where they are vulnerable to disease and insects. Trellises help support the weight of the plant when they have fruit and vegetables on them, and they help them stay firmly in place on those windy and stormy days. Trellises also help head the plant in the right direction where it has better space to grow. Similar to those kinds of plants which utilize trellises, we all need a good trellis in our lives for pretty much the same reasons. Spiritual trellises composed of those spiritual practices help protect us from unhealthy things we may pick up from the world. Spiritual trellises can provide support and encouragement that we need to carry the loads that we carry and help us stand firm during the storms of life we experience. Spiritual trellises can also head us in the right direction that we need to grow spiritually. I also talked about how a trellis isn't just composed of a single piece, but many interconnected pieces working together. Together, those many pieces create a trellis structure for a plant to utilize. And the very same thing is true when it comes to our spiritual disciplines and our spiritual practices that we need to have woven into our daily, weekly, and monthly routines. In order for any Christian to grow healthy as they could possibly grow, they are going to need a collection of those practices providing a trellis structure of support in their lives. And for that reason, we're going to be spending multiple weeks looking at specific individual components of a spiritual trellis one at a time. While each component can be very helpful, the reality is that there is no single spiritual practice sufficient enough on its own to provide all of the support that we need. One of the high priority components of a Christian's spiritual trellis that we're going to start with today is with Scripture. One way to view Scripture is to view it almost like it's a multivitamin. There are many vitamins that we need in order to be healthy and have a fully functioning body, and it's convenient when all those things can be packed together in one vitamin pill that we take and we get all of the things that we need. The benefit of Christians having Scripture woven into their lives is that Scripture almost does the same thing. It provides a bunch of things that we need in our life. If we don't spend time in Scripture, what we will eventually find is that we become spiritually deficient in certain areas. In the passage we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there was a list of things that are a natural byproduct of being a person who is familiar with Scripture, of knowing Scripture. And it says that all Scripture is God-breathed, and it's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Scripture is extremely formative for the person who makes Scripture a part of their routine. Being formed into a Christ-like person isn't something that happens overnight. It's a process, and teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training are a part of that process. When I think of the process of becoming a phenomenal basketball player, the phenomenal basketball player that I am today, there were multiple things that were part of that process. The voice of my coaches gets a part of the credit. Now, I say phenomenal. Phenomenal works for this week. This week, I was 5 for 6 from 3-point, when I was going to play basketball. Missed the first one, made the next 5. I was very proud of myself. Other weeks, it doesn't go as well. But for that process of me becoming the basketball player that I still try to be, the voice of my coaches gets a part of the credit. Coaches are the ones who teach players the rules of the game, and they teach players the skills that they need in order to play that game well. Coaches are who helped me learn the game. And there was one coach in particular who helped me with my shooting form and get that where it needed to be. The players I played against played a role in how good I became as well. The level of the talent that you compete against in a large part determines how good you're going to be. You're really only going to be as good as the best people in your area, whatever that might be, not just in sports. Compete against better talent and you will be better than you would be if you're just competing against lesser talent. The players that I played against when I was at Olivet for a few years and playing in intramurals and those sorts of things, playing against the kind of players I played there was very different than the kids I grew up playing, you know, in high school and all of that. So then when I came back from Olivet that very first summer after playing against some top, you know, better talent, the difference was pretty stark. The players, when I went back home, they're like, what happened to you? Well, I started playing against better players in the Chicagoland area, and I came back to Tampico a different basketball player because of it. So when I went back home, there was a very different thing. And like I said, that process of playing against better people influenced and helped me. And then there's just the training side of things. Being in shape makes a huge difference in how a person can perform on the basketball court or for any other kind of sport. Being physically healthy and being at a healthy weight is a part of the training process and being formed into a better basketball player. And this is the area where chronic arthritis in both of my knees and years of wear and tear and the extra pounds gets in the way of me actually being a good basketball player instead of the one I imagine. But back when I was able to play basketball at a higher level, my training, my exercise, my running, all the things that I was doing was part of keeping in shape, and that was a part of the process of me being a better basketball player. When it comes to Scripture and the life of a Christian, Scripture doesn't just do one thing in our lives, but many. When we spend time reading Scripture, when we spend time wrestling with Scripture, any number of things can happen in that process. Scripture can teach us, Scripture can rebuke and correct us, and Scripture can train us and build us up and prepare us for what is ahead. So for the first part, we need Scripture to teach us. Scripture can absolutely do that, but sometimes we as Christians aren't necessarily the best students. When we aren't the best of students, Scripture can be used in inappropriate and misleading ways. Unfortunately, Christians do have a habit of taking Scripture and misapplying it. And one of the common threads for when Christian people do misapply Scripture is when they don't know enough Scripture. They know enough to try to make the case they're trying to make or to justify whatever decision they're trying to make, but they don't know enough Scripture to actually realize that what they're trying to do isn't the best thing. When you only know a little bit of Scripture, you only have a few options to apply to your situation. And it just kind of comes to mind when they say, when all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Well, there's lots of tools that you should be using to do different work projects and things like that. But if all you have is one Bible verse, everything looks like this is where it applies. But we need to know more than that. When you only know a little bit of Scripture, you only have a few options for applying to the situation. There may be better passages of Scripture to apply to a situation, but if you don't know it, how can you apply it? Having a more expansive and complete familiarity with the full witness of Scripture can provide a safeguard against those times when people want to selectively use certain parts of Scripture to do what they want to do and be ignorant of the rest. If the topic is marriage, there are multiple places in Scripture where you can go for teaching about marriage and not just one. If the topic is about wealth or greed, there are multiple places in Scripture to learn about these things and not just one. If the topic is sin, there are multiple places in Scripture to learn about sin and not just one. And if the topic is judging, there are multiple places to go to, not just one. If you approach any one of those topics or 100 others as if there's only one place in Scripture trying to teach you about it, you are possibly setting yourself up to make a biblically uninformed conclusion. What really bad students of Scripture tend to do is go to the place in Scripture saying what they already preferentially want to hear, while avoiding the other places of Scripture saying what they don't want to hear. If you're searching for teaching that applies to your context and your situation and your decision you're trying to make, but you're only aware of one passage of Scripture related to what you're looking for, you can easily make a big mistake. If you have a limited knowledge of Scripture, how would you even know if there's a better passage of Scripture you should be considering? If you don't more of Scripture, you can wrongly believe that you're doing what the Bible says while wielding only one piece of Scripture you know and wielding it pretty foolishly. This is what happens with things like the do not judge piece of Scripture. Few pieces of scripture get wielded more foolishly than those three words ripped out of their context from Matthew chapter 7. Some Christians use "do not judge" on other people as if scripture doesn't provide guidance on judging and judgment in other places of scripture. Simply saying "do not judge" it's incomplete and it's insufficient. And the full context in the original context is pretty clear. Don't judge others by harsher standards than you would use to judge yourself. Don't judge if you've got a plank in your eye, but get rid of the plank in your eye first, and then you will be able to offer clear-eyed judgment to help someone else. Jesus also makes it clear that a tree is judged by its fruit. If you see apples on a tree, it is fair and reasonable for you to make the judgment that that tree is an apple tree. If a person is spewing anger and hatred, it is fair and reasonable for you to make judgments about that fruit and calling that fruit bad and calling that fruit unchristlike. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul provides some additional help about when and where judgment is appropriate. His conclusion was this: what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside the church? God will judge those outside. He clearly seems to be okay with brothers and sisters in Christ providing healthy and helpful and loving judgment for other brothers and sisters in Christ when they are wrongly behaving or whatever the situation might be. Paul's command to them was not, "do not judge, lest you be judged." His command was, there is an appropriate time and place for judgment, especially in the body of Christ. Scripture teaches us, and we need to be good students who want to know all that Scripture has to say to us. All Scripture is God-breathed, and so all Scripture can teach us something, and all Scripture is worthy of our attention at some point along the way. The less familiar we are with all of Scripture, the more likely it is that we will make poor interpretations and poor applications of it. Another thing that Scripture does in the life of a Christian is that Scripture rebukes and it corrects. Old habits and old ways of thinking and old ways of living can be difficult to let go of. And it would be wonderful if we could all just learn something new and immediately live in a different way simply because we learned something. Being taught new information is great, but information on its own doesn't immediately lead to transformation. Even after becoming a Christian, a person can still say or do things that are not in alignment with who they are called to be. And for that reason, rebuking and correcting are an important part of the formational process for all of our lives as Christians. Even though it isn't the slightest bit pleasant, Christians need rebuking and correcting in order for them to grow into the person God desires them to be. Scripture is useful for providing us with the rebuke and the correction we need. And whether that's us directly, you spend time reading Scripture, sometimes you read through Scripture and you have a convicting moment where, oh, wow, like I don't think I measure up to what Scripture is calling for me here. Sometimes it happens directly like that, where we're spending time in Scripture and we feel that rebuke, and that's the Spirit working with that. Other times, Scripture rebukes us through the words of other Christians who do know Scripture and do know what Scripture asks of us. And so sometimes the rebuke comes indirectly through that. In fact, that is the situation that the Apostle Paul was addressing when in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he told the church that it was okay to judge those inside the church. And the situation they had was there was this horrible behavior that was going on in the church that needed to be rebuked, but nobody in the church was willing to rebuke that behavior. And Paul says that's not how that should be. They should be expelling the wicked brother from among them for the situation he was dealing with. There was judgment that was needed, and there was a rebuke that was needed. Maybe you've been in a situation where you've directly witnessed a child behaving horribly, and you thought that maybe a lack of parental discipline was the cause of that behavior happening. Maybe you had thoughts like, boy, if I did that when I was a kid, boy, my parents, whew, they would fill in the blank. Maybe you've been in a situation where a misbehaving child was not with any adult around them, and you started looking around wondering, where is this kid's parents? They're like, that parent needs to get here and put an end to what's going on here. Raise your hand if you've ever had situations or feelings like that when you've seen a tantrum going on. I know I have multiple times. Where are those kids' parents? Where, you know, what kind of discipline have they missed out on in their life for them to act like that? Now, to be honest, as a pastor, there is another time where I have that exact same feeling. And it's when I see and hear Christian people behaving in completely unchristlike ways. When Christians act in rude, offensive, dismissive, mocking, or verbally abusive ways, there's a part of me that thinks, who raised this Christian? Have they never been disciplined or rebuked for this behavior? Where is this person's pastor? Their pastor needs to see how this Christian is acting and give them the Bible thumping they need. Scripture is a great source for the rebukes we need. And I'm thankful that I've never had to really look at anybody in my church and think, who is their, oh, wait, I'm their pastor. Oh, I better do something about that. That can happen too. If Scripture isn't woven into the rhythm of our lives, or if we only read the passages of Scripture included in some of those warm and fuzzy devotionals, we won't get everything we need from Scripture. I'm sure there are times where you need that warmth and that love and that encouragement from some of those things that maybe some of those devotionals provide, but sometimes we need the rebuke. We may get the pieces of Scripture that make us feel good, but we won't get the pieces of Scripture that actually help make us good. In the same way that some of those vitamins and minerals we need for our physical bodies come from those food sources we don't like broccoli or whatever, there are parts of Scripture that are not going to be pleasant, but they are healthy and necessary. And lastly, Scripture trains us. Scripture is a workout that gets us ready for things in advance. When we spend time in Scripture learning what it has to teach us, and when we spend time considering the life we're called to live, it prepares us for actually living that life out. Scripture is a part of our training. If you've ever had a body workout program put together by one of those personal trainers, you know that the kind of workout programs that they put together for you isn't the sort of thing where you do the same thing every single day and day after day after day. Instead, they give you a kind of a flexible schedule that changes from one day to the next. One day, you may be focusing on upper body exercises, but the next day, focusing on lower body leg exercises. And the reason for alternating back and forth is so that those muscles you wear out on one day can rest and recover while you work out something else the next day. If you were to be rigorous each and every day doing the exact same thing to the same muscles over and over and over again, you would actually end up dealing with problems instead of growth. And the same goes, I believe, for Scripture reading. If you read day after day after day in a race to get through the Bible by a designated time, you can easily be in a situation where you've read the entire Bible but experienced little growth. Instead of read, how about read, reflect, read, reflect, read, reflect. Read Scripture and provide time and space to reflect on it. It may be a slower process, but you're definitely going to get much more out of it. One of the things you can't do in life is speed up a marinade. Marinade can greatly improve the quality of the meat that you're going to be cooking, but you can't speed up a marinade. It takes a set amount of time for that stuff to sink in, but that weight is worth it when all is said and done. When it comes to the training that we get from Scripture, that training does need to be a regular part of our rhythm. It needs to be exactly like what Larry read for us earlier from Deuteronomy chapter 6. Scripture needs to be upon our hearts. Scripture needs to be in the conversations we have. Scripture needs to be impressed on the next generation. Scripture needs to be the thing we talk about and the thing that comes up when we are at home, when we're on the road, when we lie down, when we get up. We need the words of Scripture strategically placed in our homes to serve as reminders for the people we're called to be and as reminders for the life we're called to live. Now this morning, we're going to close with the song, Ancient Words. The ancient words of Scripture are a gift long preserved to help us on our walk in this world. Scripture has a lot to teach us if we will allow it to be a part of that spiritual trellis. The presence of Scripture on our spiritual trellis provides us with the support we need when the storms of life want to blow us around. Scripture helps protect us by rebuking unhealthy and unchristlike behaviors that damage our witness. And Scripture helps us grow in the right direction because it is in Scripture where we learn everything there is for us to know about Jesus Christ. Scripture is an important part of the trellis, heading us in the direction of Christ-likeness by showing us what Christ-likeness looks like. So I invite you to go ahead and stand as we sing a song that expresses our appreciation for the ancient words of Scripture handed down to us.